As you heard in the news segment, Southern Oregon University is closed for the day after the discovery of a perceived threat. This adds to a list of campus disruptions since the Umpqua Community College shootings last Thursday. Southwestern Oregon Community College in Coos Bay went through this Friday, then Rogue Community College in Medford, Grants Pass, and White City on Monday. Ironically, this is the day community colleges across Oregon will observe vigils for the victims at UCC, 5 to 7 p.m. tonight at the various community colleges around Oregon. It is also the day Southern Oregon University was going to begin offering active shooter training for student safety. For the next 4 weeks, it'll do that. Our first guest was not going to be involved with that particular training, but he does train people in dealing with active shooter situations. Greg Crane is the founder of the ALICE system for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange, Greg.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So how long have you worked in law enforcement?
Well, between being active in law enforcement training now, it's 27 years.
Mm-hmm. And what prompted the creation of ALICE?
Well, in the aftermath of Columbine, I was a SWAT officer at the time, and you know, Columbine was law enforcement's slap of reality that our ability to get there in time during an active shooter event to have a significant impact in the outcome was really pretty slim. So my wife was an elementary principal at that time, and I asked her, you know, what are you guys doing before we can get there? And when she told me about their Code Red program, which was a lockdown secure-in-place response, you know, I just found that inadequate, that they were telling everybody all the time, you know, find a room, get in it, lock a door, and wait for the police. And, you know, the shooting at Columbine occurred initially outside the building. There's no way to secure in place if you're outside and you're under threat. You know, I just felt people needed to know more about their range of options, and did some research and couldn't find any programs out there that I felt were adequate. So we built one, you know, just for my wife's school. And now one thing has led to another, and just in the K-12 demographic, there's about 2,000 school districts around the country that use our program.
Is it based on some sort of protocol that police use when they're faced with an active shooter?
No, it's not really based on police protocol, but we built our response strategies, you know, along the same lines as how, you know, how does law enforcement survive dangerous encounters? And, you know, I can just tell you, it's not through being passive and static. And what I found in all of the response programs that, you know, incorporated lockdown as the primary response, in some cases even the sole mandated response, I mean, that's what you're basing. You're telling everybody to be passive, be static, and wait for the police. And that was just inadequate. You know, we know from our careers, sometimes you have to be your own proactive defense. And how can we give people some information that they can use to help themselves?
Okay, I want to be really clear when we talk about proactive defense with an active shooter, what we're talking about here, because some people can certainly take this in a whole different direction from others. So when you talk about proactive defense, what do you mean?
I'm just talking about knowing what your range of options are and then make you being empowered through your training and the information that you receive to make a good decision in which is your best response. So humans have three basic responses to danger. You can get away from it, you can try to hide from it, or you can try to take control of it. And you know, everyone is not going to be in the same level of danger within the facility. Some people are going to be in close contact, some people are not going to be in contact at all. So it's all about what information do you have at the time during an event, and then making a decision based on that information. You know, to tell somebody today how they should respond tomorrow, that's just unrealistic. We don't have that crystal ball. We don't know what the event's going to look like. We don't know who's going to be doing it. We don't know what they're going to be doing it with. So it's just pretty illogical to think that I can give someone a step A through E response plan and know that for them that'll be the right one during the event.
A through E in this case is ALICE, Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. Greg Crane is the founder of the training system. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. You know, there's a list of frequently asked questions at your website for ALICE, and I know there's one there that you pose, and I'm curious to know what your answer to it is. And it is the adoption of the ALICE protocol an admission that the schools are not safe?
No, it's not that case at all. It's just, you know, our society is what it is. Our culture, you know, has become what it's become. You know, when I don't know your age, but you know my age. You know, we had nuclear bomb drills.
Yes, I remember those.
We never suffered one of those attacks. But you know, if we had, you know, getting under our desk and putting our head between our legs and putting our hands over our head, how is that really going to protect us from a nuclear explosion? You know, nearby. You know, it was a check in the box response plan. So, you know, my intention is: look, if you're going to prepare people for a very dangerous event, then you need to prepare them adequately. You don't need to just check a box, you know, because what people learn, they take with them. They become conditioned in that response. You know, so many of the victims at Virginia Tech, even though Virginia Tech had no plan, had no policy, had no training, you know, they got under their desk or they went and sat in a corner. Well, you know, that just doesn't seem like a normal response to someone intent on hurting you. Why did they do that? Well, what training had they received in their K-12 years that, unfortunately, when they did face that kind of danger, you know, what was their conditioning? And their conditioning was to be static and passive. So while I will in no way say schools are unsafe, unfortunately, bad things do happen. And when they do happen, how do we respond? You know, schools run anywhere from 6 to 9 fire drills a year during the school year. We have not lost a student in a K-12 structure fire since 1958. It's just because, you know, we've done such a good job in training personnel in how to respond, providing them with the tools and the information during an event so that they can make a decision. And my thoughts are I want people to know just as much about surviving gunshots as they do when they hear the fire alarm.
So, Greg, walk us through the steps. We have alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and evacuate. I mean, alert seems pretty clear. Lockdown seems pretty clear. And then, so...
There's basically two things as far as the organization goes. You know, as an organization, your job is to try to get the alert out as quickly as possible and then share information, share constant updates in real time as possible about what you know. You know, don't keep people in the dark during a critical event. The response of the personnel involved inside the facility during a situation, you know, that they've got the option then of locking down or securing in place, which in addition to locking a door, we find that people need to be actually taught and trained in how do you barricade, how do you fortify a door, because doors have been breached. And it's not enough just to lock a door and think that's going to be keep the bad guy out. The evacuation, you know, that should be the primary response. I mean, since we've been very little, we've been conditioned, you know, the best way to survive danger is to get away from it. And yet a national standard was allowed to evolve that told people to stay inside the facility with the danger. It never really made a lot of sense to me. And then the third human response is counter, and that's if contact is made with the bad guy in the case of an active shooter, someone using a firearm trying to hurt large numbers of people, How do you increase your chances of survival? How do you mitigate the chances of becoming a casualty? How do you increase his skill set necessary to hurt you with that firearm? And you know, the actual physical actions that people can engage in to achieve all those are not that difficult. Mentally, it's difficult. Mentally, it's difficult to do something during one of these horrific events.
You're very clear that the counter is a last resort, though, right?
Counter is a last resort, and counter is not fighting. You know, we don't teach any fighting strategies. You know, any physical interaction we teach is based on making his job to shoot accurately more difficult, and if necessary, we take back control. You know, despite my background, I'm not a it takes a good guy with a gun to beat a bad guy with a gun. You know, mentality. I don't believe that's true, and I always tell people, you know, go look at the video of the Ronald Reagan assassination attempt. You know, that situation was ended in just under 3 seconds. You had 20, 30 very armed, heavily armed professionals in the vicinity, and yet they stopped it without a round being fired. They used their overwhelming numbers. They used body weight. They used gravity to take control of this individual. Well, you know, I don't have any official reports yet from the UCC event, but it seems like, you know, in that room, the good guys far outnumbered the bad guys. He doesn't possess the ability and the skill set really to hurt that large number of people if that large number of people decide he's not going to hurt us all.
I can imagine, though, that Greg, in Alice training, you probably spend a good bit of time on the counterpart because it does tend to run, not to be too flip with the phrase, but counter to human instinct. I mean, you do tend to want to hunker rather than pick up a desk and fling it at somebody with a gun, don't you?
You know, I equate it to, you know, how we talk to very young children about stranger danger. If a predator tries to snatch little Sally off the street, we haven't conditioned little Sally to be passive, be static, and be compliant. We've given her an age-appropriate terms and an age-appropriate capabilities. What can she do to break contact and get away from this predator? Well, the concept is no different with an active shooter. He is also a predator. And there may come a time when you're going to, like little Sally on the street, you may have to act in your own defense. So it's just a question of, and not necessarily changing the mindset, because I find that all humans have a survival mindset. It's different levels, but you know, nobody wants to be taken advantage of easily. The issue becomes, how were you trained previously and how were you conditioned? And were you conditioned to believe that if you are passive and static, that'll be okay because the police will be there in time to help you? And that has just been shown over and over again, unfortunately, in these results. In these situations, the results of these situations, we just don't get there in time.
Greg Crane's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, the founder of the active shooter program known as ALICE for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. How young do you teach the ALICE program?
Oh, we have programs all the way down to preschool and kindergarten. You know, as I go around the country and going around the country for many years, I find, you know, stranger danger programs being conducted in preschool classes. Well, you know, again, this is just another form of danger that people of all ages need to be aware of. And, you know, fortunately with Sandy Hook happening a couple of years ago, you know, we know now that even at a very young age, you know, they can be susceptible to these kinds of events. And you look at Sandy Hook in the classrooms, the one classroom where Jesse Lewis, God bless him, you know, told his classmates to run. And of all those that ran, every one of them escaped unharmed. The ones that stayed did not fare so well. So it's just all about, you know, doing something rather than doing nothing. Doing nothing in the face of someone trying to hurt you typically does not have good outcomes.
Is there a component in the ALICE training for direction versus decentralized decision-making? I mean, particularly because it would seem it's very hard to get decisions made from any centralized authority when there is chaos.
Yeah, that's why we don't, you know, we say there is no step-by-step plan. You know, the ALICE program is based on concepts, not on procedures. You know, you teach everyone what the concepts are, what the strategies are, but then they are empowered to make the decision in the moment. You know, for a centralized body to be making the decisions either before the event has even happened, you know, through a mandated plan, or during the event, be telling everybody what to do. I mean, it just doesn't make sense because not everybody's going to be in the same level of danger, even inside the building. You know, some people cannot be shot at any given moment. Well, why would they sit there and maybe wait until they can be shot? You know, the kids that sat in the Columbine Library for over 5 minutes before that room was entered, and then 22 of the 54 were shot and 10 of those 22 were killed, that they had a five-minute head start. They had a fire exit out of that room that would have taken them out of the building. But that wasn't in the plan. Evacuation was not part of the response to shooters in the building. You know, after the 8 minutes of shooting expired and the shooters left the library, many of the still ambulatory students then left the building through that fire exit. You know, my question was, if it was okay for them to leave after they were shot up, why couldn't they leave before? Why did a policy exist that told them they had to stay in place?
Greg, you say you're not of the school of good guy with a gun stops bad guy with a gun, but do you believe in things like having teachers with weapons in the classroom, anything like that?
Well, you know, I'm just not a fan of arming people who are not adequately and sufficiently trained. You know, it's one thing to be trained to the level of self-defense. It's a whole another level to think we're going to take a career educator and then maybe turn them into a fighting force. God forbid a shooter comes into their building. Now, I'm not a believer in gun-free zones either. I think, you know, if your state has lawful carry laws in place, I don't think, you know, why am I a threat in one location but I'm not a threat in another? So If people are carrying for self-defense, I have no issues with that whatsoever. But to think that someone who has only been trained in a concealed carry class or a self-defense class, to think that they will then be able to engage, go find the bad guy, engage him, and win every gunfight, I think that's a little, again, unrealistic. Police officers don't win every gunfight. So just because I have an armed civilian in the building, that doesn't mean that that person's going to be successful. What we have seen been successful in many, many active shooter events is when those under attack band together, take advantage of their huge numerical situation, and take back control from this out-of-control person.
And so how often are you on the road teaching ALICE training to various groups and schools?
Oh, gosh, we're on the road, 52 weeks a year. Typically have 4 to 8 classes going on in the country at any given week. And we train thousands of people every year. I think at the local level, where those thousands of instructors that we have trained that have gone back home throughout all the demographics, there's about 22 million people that have been exposed to ALICE training now.
All right. ALICE training again stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, and Evacuate. Greg Crane founded the system after he realized that he wanted his wife to be safer in her job as an elementary school principal. Greg, thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure, bud. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. All right. Take care.